Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Coming up on Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean, we'll have a follow-up to a local gun ban. Stay tuned. Details next here on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
And that's Steve Voss with Come and Take It, as we just talked to him last week here on Bulldog Live. But today, right now, it is attorney Penny Dean. And Penny, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, boy, I'm having a blast. Always am having a blast.
Life is good then. We get to be on the radio talking about the most important thing on planet Earth, which is, of course, our little firearms.
Oh, yes.
And you know, and we can talk about what happened Monday. You know, Monday, I forgot to tell you, gun owners in New Hampshire has a legislative shoot every year. And to that shoot, they invite the Senate, the House, both state and local, or state and federal, rather, the general court, blah, blah, blah. And on Monday, it was an absolutely beautiful day. And they had cowboy-mounted shooters. You should see, these guys have horses. And just like in the old days, they're mounted, and they shoot balloons from their horses in this giant figure-eight pattern. Isn't that cool? It's like barrel racing, only every few barrels. And this horse, one of the fellas' horses, okay, they shoot a cannon off. A cannon. I'm talking a cannon. Near the horse. And the
you
horse.
Mean like Civil War type cannon?
Yeah.
How the heck does a horse carry one of those? But then again,
no,
it's on wheels,
no,
right?
They shoot it off near the horse. The horse isn't carrying it. It's near the horse.
Oh.
My point is, most horses, you're like, how does that horse carry that cannon?
Right.
That horse pull the cannons. But no, the funny thing is, most people around there jump and the horse looks and goes, yeah, that's a cannon. Doesn't, and they have giant earplugs for the horse.
Nice.
Isn't that cool?
Nice.
It's just cool. So every legislators and their families really on Monday missed a really, really good shoot. We had all full autos, had everything you could imagine. And here's the good news. It cost not one penny. In other words, legislators, their family, friends, and staff were welcome to attend. They were given instruction. They were given earballs, eyeballs, the whole bit. 50 was there. You can't imagine all the people, and this year it was held at Pemmy Fishing Game in Holderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And oh my, and they feed you on top of that. Did I mention you get lunch? And
oh my goodness.
Yeah,
so there is a free lunch, even for the politicians.
Yeah.
Ah.
And of course, this horse likes donuts.
Well, they couldn't afford to buy it anyway with their salary.
That's right. I never thought about that. That would give them free pop and coffee, too. You're right, because with their salary, even a cup of coffee is a pretty expensive proposition.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's, you know, that's kind of what's going on there. But just wanted people to know that every year it gives you an opportunity, if you will, to rub elbows with your reps and senators. And
mm-hmm. And
sometimes ones that are anti-firearm find out that all these things, you know how in the movies you just take a gun and you just pray away and you spray and you hit everything you aim at? Which none of my firearms quite work that way. It takes me a lot of practice to do that. But
yes.
I've never bought the magic ones they sell on TV. And so it's really a good lesson to our reps and senators, because they look at it and they go, God, this is harder than I thought. And you're like, yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. It takes a lot of discipline and such.
Right. This is why we make noise in our backyards. This is why we go to the firing range. This is why we're concerned about many things. Yes.
Absolutely. And you know what the sound of shooting is?
Music to my ears.
Sound of freedom.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't it true?
That's better.
That's what the going-age president always says. That's the sound of freedom.
Where was I? I was actually just up north over the weekend. I was in Pittsburgh and Colebrook and Stewartstown and all that, even up to Beecher Falls, Vermont. And somebody was shooting off somewhere. I went, I love that sound.
Isn't it just the greatest sound? They have all sorts of cool sounds, and now they have this new ammo out, which I'm going to buy a bunch of it, and they're these little pellets you put in if you do hand-loaded ammunition. You put it in there in different colors, so they shoot like tracers, but they're totally innocuous, and they shoot colors like pink, so you can see where you're shooting from there to the target.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
It's like these little smoky things.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was like, those.
Yeah, because sometimes I shoot, and I'm like, where'd that go?
Don't you?
I'm like, did I hit that target? Oh, I can't see the target. Unless the target turns, you know, orange or something. You know how you have the black paint on it and then
absolutely.
You know, turns color. That way you can see it from a distance, because otherwise I'm, like, squinting. I'm like, oh, I didn't even get anywhere near that thing.
Oh, I know. Sometimes you're like, did I hit it? Which is why I like reactive targets. You know, be they metal or plastic or tourney or
yes.
Those type. Then you know definitely, you know, what you hit. And, mm-hmm. and that's really a cool thing. Now, the other thing that I kind of wanted to talk about this week is the Sandown issue, which I don't know if anybody had been following what Sandown did.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we talked about this.
Yep, and they enacted an ordinance banning firearms in the buildings. And I think their reasoning behind it was quite quite sad to me and quite disappointing.
It was reinstating an old gun ban that they once had, I think it was.
That's exactly what they did. And I'll tell you what's been noteworthy to me is I sent them a letter, and as a direct result of my letter, I've been told, and the minutes seem to support, they rescinded that. And so, of course, that's a good thing.
After they received your letter,
after
yes.
After they received my letter. After they received my letter, and some of them called it a threatening letter. I thought I wrote a very polite, professional letter, simply saying that, you know, what you've done is against the law. Would you please, you know, reconsider this? And they did, and for that, I think they did the right thing. But I think the thing that everyone needs to know is that, according to the paper, they had consulted the local government center.
Hmm.
And anyone who's been at the State House very much in New Hampshire knows that the local government center or the municipal association, okay, and they really are one and the same when it comes to firearm issues, okay? And the sad thing is that a lot of people don't know that their cities, towns, and municipalities pay, depending on their size and a variety of things, tens of thousands of dollars per year, if just thousands of dollars in some instances, to be a member of the New Hampshire Municipal Association. And according to the paper in Sandown, these selectmen had consulted the New Hampshire Municipal Association and local government center attorneys.
I was just going to guess for the legal advice, sure.
That's exactly right. Now, what type of lawyers, even if you hate firearms, would tell your clients, which is in this case the selectmen, that, yeah, you can enact that ordinance?
Ones who probably have not read recent laws.
Well, this law is from years ago. You know, you're talking 2003.
Right, the statewide preemption you're
right,
talking about.
Absolutely. So, in other words, these lawyers didn't. I can tell you that even when I know a subject, or at least I think I know it well, before I give a client an answer, I take 2 seconds and just make double, triple sure I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to the books. And I think in this instance that clearly did not happen. But what's been more distressing to me, and what I think listeners need to think about, and they need to talk to their elected officials in their cities and towns, do you want to be a part of New Hampshire Local Government Center and the New Hampshire Municipal Association? And here is the arguments for it. They're like, look, it gives us pools to pull for employee benefits, for handbooks, for all the things for our city and town employees.
Yeah.
And I can see that there's a benefit there. However, the question is, what about your Second Amendment rights? The bottom line is, in my 16 years in New Hampshire, every time I've been to the State House supporting a good firearm bill, darn near every time the Municipal Association is there fighting it.
Hmm.
Okay. Every time, not every time, virtually every time that I've been at the State House fighting a bad gun control bill, usually the Municipal Association is either behind the bill or supporting it.
So, which, for me, the average town voter, you know, I would go to my, you know, when I go see my selectman, I'll say, gee, guys, thanks for supporting that anti-gun legislation, or thanks for testifying, you know, against my right to carry, you know, whatever the issue may be before the legislature. And then they'll say, oh, no, you know that's not how I feel. Well, the organization you belong to certainly is advocating on your behalf as the town entity.
That's exactly right, and they literally come in and say, we represent 212 cities and municipalities in New Hampshire, or whatever the current number is. So they come in and represent, they do that. But more importantly, it's your dollars that are paying their lobbyists. They actually have lobbyists at the State House. Anybody goes in the State House and sees the individuals with the orange tags?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Municipal Association has lobbyists.
I'm going to see a bunch of orange shirts there in a couple of weeks, but that's another issue.
But orange shirts?
For the Northern Pass, the eminent domain bill that comes up on May 19th.
Oh, wow.
At 1:15 in Representatives Hall.
Okay, that's a good thing to remember.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, so I guess the thing that we have to think about here is that your tax dollars, essentially, are paying membership in this organization that pays those lobbyists to go and try and defeat your Second Amendment rights and restrict them at every turn. And I think what I'm looking at this week on the show is kind of an education week. We need to continue to educate our elected officials and employees in towns and cities, because literally the individual who, I guess, what do you want to say, that started the issue in Sandown, the way I've heard it reported is a female went in to City Hall to do some business, and she had a firearm on her hip. And they said, well, don't you understand why the employees were concerned? And I said, actually, no, I don't. I truly don't, because I said, was this woman loud? No. Was she threatening anyone? No. She just came in to do her business. I said, so then what was the problem?
All I can say, you know, because they'll say, well, gee, you know, why do you need to carry a firearm in a town hall? Does anybody remember the town of Newberry, where I think it was the town clerk that got shot? You know, the fatal shooting there several years ago.
Wasn't there a part-time judge by the name of Vicki Bunnell, maybe, as well?
In Colebrook?
Yes.
Yep, there too.
Yeah. And so the bottom line, as I tell people, is you cannot predict when and where crazy people and violent people are going to strike. You just can't.
Exactly.
You know, and so I guess my concern in this particular instance, and we need to all, you know, have more dialogue with our elected officials, is to say that the reporter that talked to me regarding this said, well, the selectmen there really thought they were doing the right thing. And I said, on what planet is banning firearms doing the right thing? I mean, do you see how anyone could construe that as doing the right thing?
No, not given the fact that when you look around the country, the trend, the legal trend, you know, in court decisions as well as state decisions have been to loosen the restrictions on firearms, not to tighten them up. And in fact, I was just reading a case out of Illinois. If I just take this for 30 seconds here, Mayor Daley, he says, he doesn't care what the Heller decision said. He's going to make it so onerous to own a firearm, to apply for a firearm, that you have to do all kinds of nonsensical paperwork with fingerprints and photo IDs, and that's the Illinois State Police first. And then after you get that permit from them, then you go to your Chicago officials and do the same thing all over again. And then you have to register your firearm, and that's every year, and yada, 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 paying all kinds of tax, and go through the same process over and over and over again. So they're trying to keep it, but they're more of the exception than the rule more and more these days anyway.
You know, here's the funny thing about Mayor Daley. When the courts look at restrictions, they go, okay, are these reasonable restrictions reasonably crafted to achieve an important state goal, meaning mm-hmm. safety, public health, all types of things like that? Mayor Daley is really being silly. Did your mom ever tell you don't tug on Superman's cape, don't pee into the wind, don't do things to the, you know, there's certain things you learn, right? And I'm telling you, what Mayor Daley doing there is tugging on Superman's cape, because he's basically announcing to the courts, to heck with you, even though we've been ordered to have reasonable regulations, I am deliberately putting regulations in place that are designed to abridge and just destroy a person's Second Amendment right, and see if you can do anything about it. Why would he do that unless he's either really dumb or really trying to pick a fight.
Right, right, exactly. Well, he wouldn't do it if he didn't think that the court system wouldn't side with him to at least some degree on the lower level. And then, of course, it goes up through appeals, you know, which starts to get more and more out of his direct control. But, yeah. But, Penny, let's continue this conversation about educating our local officials on gun rights and the like, because, you know, as you and I have chatted before, it's oftentimes good to A, be the example for others in our own actions, but also every so often somebody does need a little education, so to speak.
Absolutely.
All right. Bulldog Live here with Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on the Pulse.